From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Terry Gilday. All this week, we've been taking a hard look at Utah's uncertain water future. Today, we wrap up the series by examining the water challenges that lie ahead and the idea that disparate groups might have to share their best ideas to find meaningful solutions. We begin by joining researchers deep in the Wasatch Mountains. KUER's Judy Face has the story.
Scott Jones steers a snowmobile into the T.W. Daniel Experimental Forest in the mountains above Logan. He's a soils physicist at Utah State University, and he's studying how mountain vegetation uses and stores water.
Understanding the processes up here will help us anticipate what's going to happen in our in the valleys and the streams.
Jones and a colleague are measuring how much water the snowpack's holding after Utah's warmest and driest winter on record. Someday, data like this can help water managers plan for the future. But balancing the water Utah can count on with the water it needs has been an obsession since settlers arrived. Historian Lyman Hafen recalls how pioneers labored in Washington County to supply water for a growing population. Hafen says their values are embodied in a St. George ordinance.
If any water taker shall waste water or allow it to be wasted by negligence, such as imperfect...
Wasting water back then, he says, could have meant a stiff fine of $25 or time behind bars.
So that gives you an idea of how precious water was in 1909 and that conservation ethic. You could go to jail for 25 days for having a leaky faucet. There are the two aspects of the culture that we now have, and the one keeps us moving toward developing more and more water. But the part of the culture that hasn't carried through as much is that we should be conserving.
Utah finds itself at a similar crossroads today. The state's population of 3 million is expected to double by 2040, and there's no more water today than there was when pioneers arrived. Lawmakers heard state auditors explain this week that it's hard to plan for that growth because basic data on how much water Utah needs and how much water it has is riddled with errors. Salt Lake City Democratic Representative Brian King called for action.
We've got to make decisions about how much money we're going to plow into as a legislature, how much money we're going to allocate in budget and raise from taxpayer funds for those kind of infrastructure projects. And I just want to make the best decisions possible.
Climate change is even a bigger question mark for Utah's water. Rob Gillis leads the Utah Climate Center at USU. He's also on Governor Gary Herbert's Water Strategy Advisory Team, which is basically drafting a water to-do list for the next half century. Gillis says the advisors have discussed technology solutions.
But then it was also noted that actually the greatest risk for the state is water resources, and the greatest component of that risk is climate change.
Utah's already warming twice as fast as the global average, and the state's likely to get hotter. But Gillis points out that the trend for water is unforeseeable. Wilder fluctuations between flooding and longer, deeper droughts are making it tough to plan ahead. Pat Mulroy considers questions like these for the Brookings Mountain West think tank and the World Economic Council's Water Committee. She looks especially at climate change.
It is definitely a game changer. I think it's a game changer in how we use water. And I think it's a game changer in how we manage water.
Mulroy says interest groups like farmers, environmentalists, and water managers have to stop fighting one another over water. So do the seven Colorado River Basin states. She predicts that climate change will someday mean that Utah finds itself in a drought as deep as California's or a water shortage as severe as Nevada's.
There is real strength in strategic partnerships. You help buffet each other's weaknesses and exposures, and the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Back when she was water boss for Southern Nevada, Mulroy gained worldwide recognition for making water-wise practices routine. She persuaded homeowners to rip out their lawns and golf courses to keep their turf green with gray water. She established a water banking program with Arizona. Mulroy says Utah's behind the times when it comes to conservation and partnerships like these.
My only advice to Utah is they need to become more actively engaged in helping resolve issues as they're arising in the basin and not view themselves as separatists.
Mulroy says Utah's politicians, cities, and farmers are AWOL.
You know, you are part of a larger region, and you want your neighbors to be supportive of you, you need to be standing with your neighbors when your neighbors need you.
As big picture questions like these are being discussed elsewhere, Utah leaders have been sending mixed messages about the need for change. Not one of the state's conservation plans for 11 water basins mentions climate change. And efforts are just beginning to stop groundwater mining that's causing fissures and subsidence in Utah farmlands, even though the problem has been around for decades. Back up in the mountains east of Logan, Scott Jones and his team monitor the remote research sites, looking for clues about the future.
The data is probably going to take longer in order to develop an answer that is meaningful to the citizens and meaningful in terms of the science.
Jones says it probably will be years before his research has something definitive to say about Utah's water. Judy Fays, KUER News.
Support for KUER and KUED's series, Utah's Uncertain Water Future, comes from the George S. and Dolores Dore Eccles Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, protecting Utah's lands, waters, and future for people and nature. More at nature.org/Utah.